Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia. Thank you for joining us. And with me, as always, is the bookworm that is Jennifer Wollman. Hi, Jennifer. Say hi.
Hi, everybody. And it's funny that he says bookworm. Yes, I love to read. But right now I have a stack of three easy reader books in front of me. So this is my reading level. And what I was holding
for those of you who are listening, because sometimes Jennifer forgets the concept of an audio medium. She's holding up. If you give a mouse a brownie, if you give a cat a cupcake, and if you give a pig a pancake. So,
and the theme here is food. We're going to talk about food today. No.
We're very close to lunch and we're hungry, so we figured, why not?
No. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. So when I first put this on our topics, because it's part of our kindergarten series, which obviously we have the most fun with. But the book I had, which I couldn't find in the library, so I brought these other three, is If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, written by Laura Numeroff and illustrated by Felicia Bond. And so, of course, Fernando and I, we see the topics, but we never discuss them ahead of time. So he walked in today for our recording and said, I have no idea how we're tying this into real estate.
So you guys know that we have this kindergarten series and, you know, we've done a lot of cool stories and we've connected it because they're either speak to the importance of mindset or they speak to the importance of the kind of attitude that you need to have in order to be successful in commercial real estate. But I really have no clue how we're going to tie this on. So I am like, perhaps you guys who are listening in, just as, you know, anticipatory as you might be as to what this episode is going to be about. So I'm sure it's going to work out great.
So to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I know why I put this on the list. But anyway, so let's give you a brief rundown for those of you not familiar with the If You Give A series. It's always an animal and food. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes the animals go to school, but we won't go down that road. This starts out, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask you for some milk, and then you have to give him the milk. He's going to ask for a straw. When he's done, he's going to ask for a napkin. Then he's going to want to look in the mirror to make sure he doesn't have a milk mustache. He's going to notice he needs something else. So he's going to ask you for scissors. And it goes on and on and on until they circle back after they go through the whole day of the mouse asking the little boy for different things. They circle back. And at the end of the day, he's thirsty. So he asks for milk again. And then the milk reminds him that he needs a cookie. And it goes full circle. So the reason I'm pretty sure I included this is because I think in the brokerage industry or pretty much anything in life, there's certain people in your life that are constantly asking you for things. And the minute you give them one thing, they ask for something else and then something else and something else. And you end up on this giving loop and it can be draining. Fernando and I always talk about how the importance of a broker is to provide value to their agents, value to their customers, value to their industry, etc. But sometimes you can get tapped for everything, where all of a sudden you become the source of everything for certain people. And so I think this was just kind of a way to highlight the importance of knowing when that's happening, the difference between providing value in what you're able to and the being asked constantly to be doing something for either a particular person or a particular organization or whatever, just on and on and on. Yeah. Because at the the end of the day, time is our most valuable resource. Yeah. And we're all, that's the one thing that we're all limited by. So I think that's kind of why.
I hear you.
I went down this mouse and a cookie because, I mean, I do. I have a couple of people in my life who I adore. I have a lot of fun with, but I am constantly asked for stuff, whether it's work related or personal or to give to their charities or, and I'm like, you must know somebody other than me that you can ask for these things for. So I think we also had a podcast where, or an episode where we mentioned, no is a complete sentence. I love Beth Azor for always reminding me that no is a complete sentence. And sometimes it's okay to just say no or to not, not constantly be the one giving, because in this giving book, at the end of the book, the little boy is just lying on the doorstep of his house, like totally dead and drained, and the mouse is all happy, and he's like, and for us who have been in this industry a long time, real estate is a long game. Our relationships are built on long term. Our business is built on long term relationships. So,
well, I love nothing more than hearing you turn yourself into a pretzel and then unfurl yourself out of that shape to figure out the connection. But I actually have some notes.
Okay, is this Adensibia intelligence? Because I saw you madly Googling while I was de-pretzeling.
Guys, it's called AI for a reason. It's Adensibia intelligence. It's a little bit of a secret out there. And now the cat is out of the bag. But why don't we go through this? Because I thought this was really a cool way of...
So the answer was yes, people. This went
no,
through
no,
it.
Listen. My AI told me to search other AI, right? So Adensibia intelligence, right, led to artificial intelligence.
So ChatGPT is going to save me.
ChatGPT is going to save us, okay. Right? Because we're a team. We go down with the ship together, no matter what. No, but look, this is really interesting. These are six lessons within the thing, and maybe I'll read it and we can kind of discuss. So,
perfect.
Lesson number one is small actions can have big consequences. And basically, a small gesture of giving a cookie leads to an escalating series of events showing how one action can trigger many unexpected outcomes. I love this for so many reasons. For me, it is true that I don't believe that there are necessarily small actions or, even small acts of kindness, right? Kindness is kindness, and it is powerful regardless of its size, right? Therein lies a lot of lessons. One of them is you don't know the little things that you do for your clients and what effect it has on the growth of the relationship, on the value that you're able to add. And at the same time, you shouldn't take for granted all the little things that you do. And if you're going to do something, do it well, because it can have a series of events. And even in saying yes to things or getting out of your comfort zone, and sometimes you do little things that are like that you recognize as I'm out of my comfort zone, it's just a little thing. It's not a big deal. I went to this place. I did this thing. You just never know where your career is going to lead you and what one event would lead to another.
I agree. And I think the importance of, and I know it's going to sound like I was belly aching about always be nice stuff. And that's not true at all. I love it because I love conversation. But there is a time I remember somebody once saying, like, to your point of doing things for the right reason, I remember having a conversation with this woman. She's like, I can't believe it. I said hello and I say hello and they don't even say hello back. And I'm like, well, then why are you saying hello? Are you saying hello because of the satisfaction you get in you saying hello? Or are you saying hello because you're hoping for them to give you the satisfaction of them saying hello? So that goes to your point of doing things for the right reason when you do those acts of kindness. Okay, so far I'm loving ChatGPT.
Well, the second one is be prepared for responsibility, right? You acts of kindness can sometimes require continuous responsibility. The story illustrates that when you offer help, you might be taking on more than you initially thought. And this really hits home for me because sometimes you go down a rabbit hole and you're like, well, that's not really what I intended to do by offering help, right? At that moment, you have to decide where up to what point do I continue to offer the help? Am I really helping the person? Am I preventing them from figuring it out on their own? Just the idea of you got to be prepared for the responsibility that you take on. I think it's a great lesson.
Agreed. I have nothing to add.
Wow. Wow. You would be a great improv partner.
Because the way you said that,
I have nothing to add. End of story.
end of improv skit. Yeah. So first of all, I would never be on an improv stage.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Now that I know that you said never, yes, you will. I want to make that happen.
But the minute you said that, be prepared for the responsibility. So I have the saying, I say not my monkey. So a lot of times when I'm asked things or to help or for whatever it is, I look at it and I'm like, okay, are they really looking for information or assistance, which I'm glad to give, or are they looking for something more that I'm not able to give, like for me to resolve something of their own? And that's when I go, okay, not my monkey. Like I can't get involved in that. I don't have the energy or the knowledge or the time or the whatever to go down that road. So that's why I wasn't going to comment.
And I think you're very smart, because the next one is really something that you and I have discussed thoroughly. And it's very much a part of the lessons in the book. And you mentioned it at the beginning, which is the importance of setting boundaries. So without boundaries, giving too much can lead to exhaustion. The boy continuously meets the mouse's demands, subtly showing the importance of learning to say no when necessary. You're the one who taught me that no is a complete sentence, right? And but the setting of the boundaries is also very important, because, you know, especially in our business and when we're here to add value to our agents, to our clients. But let's talk about the agent side of things. You know, the boundaries are set. To your point, if you do everything for others, then there is no growth. There is no learning. You know, there is value in the struggle. And also, you don't leave room for creativity. They might have a way to solve the problem that is much more creative than you ever thought of, right? By fixing it for them. And therefore, there could never be an aha moment. There could never be a moment of gaining confidence because I was able to resolve it, or I was able to address it. And so there's a difference between guidance and then doing everything for others. So I think that the idea of setting boundaries is extremely important.
I agree. And I think, to your point, I remember when I was first starting out just yesterday in real estate, I was working a deal and we had another offer come in. Actually, we had two offers come in. I recommended one specifically over another, even though some of the terms in the other one were better, but I knew the people that were involved in that transaction. And I said, oof, this is going to be a rough road. And I fully disclosed everything to my customer. I went through the whole thing. We went item by item in the terms and what the deals meant. And I said, okay, this one has a little bit better terms. Let's try to negotiate it. But this is why I'm recommending this one over the other one. And then, you know, as happens in our business, all of a sudden everybody agrees with you, but then you start to doubt, and that little boll weevil in your brain is like, oh my gosh, did I do the right thing? Should I have not recommended that? Even fully disclosed, no vested interest. It made no difference to my bottom line which one he picked. And I remember thinking, I need to call my broker. And I'm like, Jennifer, it's 3 a.m. You cannot call your broker at 3 a.m. By the time morning came, I'm like, wait a minute. I had worked it out myself. But my initial thing was to pick up the phone, call my broker, help him solve my monkey, right? Exactly. And so I think, to your point, sometimes when we're so willing to answer questions or provide solutions or provide alternatives or always be the source of everything, we take away that, I shouldn't say it's a power, but like that gift that an individual has to be able to stew on it and let that boll weevil kind of dig into their brain until they come up with a solution. So
right.
I love that.
I love that too. The next one is a little, you know, maybe you can clarify this, because there's a nugget here that I think is interesting, and it's the nature of reciprocity. And it says the mouse isn't intentionally taking advantage. It's simply in its nature to want more once a favor is granted. This highlights the idea that giving can sometimes result in a cycle of unending requests. This little nugget of it's in its nature to want more once a favor is granted, kind of interesting to me. And I don't know how to generally make that connection with some of our deals and all that other stuff. But I do believe that there is a moment in every negotiation where people need to stop talking. And sometimes, you know, people get into trouble because they think on behalf of the other person. And of course, the more you're willing to give, the more they're willing to take. And there comes a time where you got to make the silence has to be the place where people can make those decisions.
Right. And you and I talk about that all the time. Right. And I think in the negotiating book by Chris Voss, I think he also says that silence is extremely important because we always want to fill the silence by talking. And sometimes just letting it sit is enough to let the other side either resolve the issue or come up with an alternative or retrace whatever they just dropped that just silenced the room.
I want to connect that with a pedagogical approach. Something is called wait time. So they did a study about how long it takes for someone to think about a question. So if you're a teacher or a professor in a classroom and you are asking a question that you want to give, you got to give 3 seconds for the person to process it enough to formulate an answer. And if you're then going to follow up with probing questions, then you got to follow up with that level of silence. And the reason why I'm connecting this is that sometimes the silence is there just to give a breathing room for people to think and to process it. And so sometimes when you're in a setting and you're negotiating face to face or you're having a conversation where you feel, well, the dynamic goes as if we were actors in a play and we already know our line. That's not really what's happening. Right. And sometimes you got to give time. You got to allow for that time for people to think through their problems or to think about all of the different dynamics that they want to consider before they put pen to paper or before they finish the negotiation.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's something that I found when I started doing all the qualifying questions for a tenant or an investor, where sometimes they're pausing. And then, you know, at the beginning, I was like, ooh, they're pausing. Either they didn't like the question or maybe they didn't understand it. And I'd start talking. And then it was like, no, they were just, they literally didn't know the answer to my question. And they were trying to answer it for themselves.
Right.
And in reality, that is, that person's answer was so much more valuable because of the pause, because it was something that they hadn't considered before when they were looking for a property. And now not only are they much clearer in terms of what they're looking for, why, but I am as well. So that's a great point to make, and it's important to use it.
The fifth lesson is life is cyclical, right? The ending where the mouse eventually circles back to asking for another cookie reflects how events can repeat themselves, implying that some situations in life are ongoing. And, you know, I think that's very true. We see it. And sometimes you begin to, even in our business, you begin to see a pattern in the transactional side where, you know, sometimes you're looking 3-4 steps ahead because, you know, you understand the cyclical nature of some of the deal flow.
Right.
Even though all of our deals are a little bit unique, there are some commonalities that repeat themselves.
Or experiences that become similar educational points. I was talking to Jess earlier about something that we're working on, and I made the comment like, you know, I don't like what if questions and I don't think about them too much. I kind of wait and see what happens when it happens, because why worry about something that may never happen? But at the same time, it's like, but I know that if this comes up, I'm already going to have a plan. Like, I already know that there are going to be certain situations in this negotiation, in this deal, that should it arise, I have some, you know, three backstops. So, and in the cyclical nature, I'm kind of thinking I wish the author would change one of these books, like for fun. Like, maybe at the end of the story, when the boy wakes up from his nap after giving the mouse everything, instead of the mouse getting a cookie, boy a cookie.
I think we should reach out. We should write our own book. If you give a realtor a listing.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to do it. Trademarked. I'm trademarking it right now, verbally, virtually, whichever issually it is that is required.
If you give a broker a listing.
There you go. Now, the last lesson is about cause and effect thinking. So basically, for young readers, the book teaches the basic idea of cause and effect in a fun, engaging way, helping children understand how one action can influence another. And I think that that is an important component. For me, the lesson here is that sometimes, as you grow older, we think that the more we complicate things, the more importance we give it, the more give it a layer of gravitas. You know, we just think that that's part of growing up. We got to complicate things, you know, we got to make it more complex. So we tend to then, as human beings, begin to your point, what if thinking, right? We begin to say, well, this might cause this effect or it might cause that effect. So we try to deconstruct it, or we try to say, well, I want this effect, so I'm going to start here, right? And but I think that those things are, because there are so many variables that happen, that would be, it would be a nightmare for you to try to control.
That's counterproductive thinking. I've talked about before my fear of investing. And I was just speaking with an investor last week. And it was so funny because they were like, well, I don't want to go a little bit higher because what if this? And I was like, whoa, stop right there. Because if you start with the what if thinking, you're never going to invest, not only in this property, but in any property, because you want to make sure when you're investing or guiding investors or guiding agents who are guiding investors, that yes, you address and you do the numbers based on probabilities and what, you know, worst case scenario, best case scenario, middle of the road scenario. But if your scenario is always Armageddon and the end of the earth, and what if another COVID happens, or, you know, if that is your endpoint, I'm guaranteeing you, you're never going to invest.
Yeah. And another thought that came to mind when I read this was that sometimes in business, people are always looking for what is my ROI for this work? Or if I do this, then how do I assure myself that I'm going to get the return on investment that I'm looking for? I want to just encourage a different kind of thinking, which is that if you focus on what are my values? How do I want to interact with people? What value do I want to add? And then let the chips fall where they may, let the process go through. You're probably going to have a much better outcome. You're going to be generally happier as you're going through that process. And you're never going to have to, you know, twist yourself into that cause and effect thinking. And it's going to be more about, well, whatever decisions come as I go through this journey, as long as my values are aligned and I have clarity of purpose and a clear vision, then I'm always going to be okay. Because even if I'm going to have to go right to then go left, you know, I know that the decisions that I'm going to make in every step are going to be guided by my values. And that's a much better way than to start to connect the dots of cause and effect. If I do this, then this will happen. And then that will happen. And then that would happen. Because the moment that something throws you off the curve of what you were expecting, then it's going to have quite an effect on your mindset.
My brain is now a pretzel because you obviously think way more than I do. Like, I'm literally going, I don't put that much thought into what I do. Mine's pretty basic. Like,
your mind is not basic.
It is. I'm like, if it sounds fun, if it's somebody I want to be with, if it's somebody I want to go on that journey with, I do it. And if it's not, I don't. So mine's very basic, but I did want to point out that in this book, even though I started like with the people who take, and how do you put boundaries, and sometimes it's okay to say no. At the end of the day, the little boy is happy because he spent all day with this little mouse, giving this little mouse everything that he wanted. And remember, we talked about the go-giver. I think we've mentioned that before. And we talk about how what you give comes back to you. You don't know when. You're talking about measuring ROI. I don't even think of ROI on half the stuff that I do. But
there are a lot of people who do.
I totally get that.
All I'm saying is you never know what is going to grow out of what you're planting today.
Right.
But if you focus on, I want to plant every day, and I want to, and these are the seeds that I want to throw out there, then it doesn't matter what it comes to you, it is most likely going to be, it's going to bear good fruit. And that's what I'm saying. Focus on what you're doing and the intentionality of it and the quality of the work, and things will work themselves out. Because I know people who do think along those lines, and they have 5-year plans and 10-year plans, and you know, they're very specific. But sometimes And you and I just had a conversation about somebody not too long ago. Sometimes they can spend a couple of years, you know, just studying and getting ready and being prepared and taking every class and doing every stuff. But
they're getting ready to get ready.
They're getting ready to get ready.
Right.
Because they're trying to control every aspect of the process instead of going out there and being like, well, let me act, right? Because right. life rewards action.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
Right. And knowing isn't doing, as Rod Santimassimo loves to say.
Yeah.
Knowing isn't doing. But
exactly.
All righty, I think we've...
Well, look, I think we've learned what happens when you give Jennifer a book.
Wait until you see if you give me a cookie.
After lunch, Jennifer, after lunch. Well, it looks like you want a cookie, a cupcake, and a pancake, judging by the books that you brought.
No, my favorite would be the brownie, because then you have to ask for the ice cream.
All right. I know she's thinking about an affogato coffee right now.
Most definitely.
I love it. Well, thank you guys for joining us for this...
Circle time.
Circle time. Exactly. Circle time in our kindergarten series. You know, we love to do them. And thank you for all of your support, really, over the last couple of years. But, you know, continually taking a listen on our podcast, sharing it. We certainly love doing it. And we appreciate it, anyone who's listening. I do want to put a little plug in. We just started. Our YouTube channel is full of great video content on our interviews. And we are on every social media platform as Between Two Chairs. So look for us. There's going to be a lot of great clips that have already started to be uploaded. We're even in TikTok. Support. I know Jennifer is nervous about that. We might only be there for a couple of weeks, so you know, you never know.
And next month is Small Business Month, so please tune in. We're going to have a ton of interviews. It's also going to be our 100th episode next month. So
nice.
We're going to have a special interview for that month. It's also, since it's Small Business Month, we're going to have a bunch of resources for small businesses so you can help your small business customers. So thank you, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Go get a cookie.